everyone. This is History You Actually Wanted to Know with Lady Billy Day, and I'm back for episode 2, and we're going to be talking about the Western Schism, if you haven't, you know, read the title of the podcast. Anyway, what's been going on since last week? Oh my god, let me tell you. So, last week, Mr. Darcy had got his booster shot, and if you've gotten your COVID booster, you know you feel, well, most of us, feel super gross, like headache, sleepiness, pains, aches, after we get our booster. So I decided to stay home from work that day to take care of Mr. Darcy. Mr. Darcy's asleep, so I go out in our garden, which I told you guys about, I went outside because our broccoli is ready, our lettuce is ready. What else is ready? What else did I harvest? Anyway, so I go back outside to go and take care of the garden. And I walk back in the house, and I feel like a prick on my chest. And I'm like, huh? And then I looked under my chest, and it's a gosh darn bug. And I was like, pardon me. So I take the bug, and I like yeet it someplace. Which, looking back on, I should have kept it. Because they say when you get bit by a bug, you're supposed to keep the bug to take to the doctors. Anyway, so Mr. Darcy, being a nurse, he like looked at the bite, put whatever he had to put on it, and called it a day, and it was fine. But Tuesday, my chest hurts, like, it stings, it's itchy, it's swelling, and I was like, okay, I really have to go to the doctor. And I really think I got bit by a spider. And my coworkers were laughing at me because I had called out of work the next day as well, and I said, y'all, I got bit by a spider, I think. And they were, like, roasting me up, and they were like, well, Billy Day, we won't roast you, but just in case you die from the spider bite, but you must be Tobey Maguire. I was like, oh no.
Who are you?
You know who I am.
I do.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Anyway, so every time I go to work, they call me Spider-Man. But I ended up going to the doctor today, and she gave me, like, some medication for it and blah, blah, blah. So I am now Spider-Woman from henceforth. Also, I want you guys to be safe out there because I have, like, 3 coworkers who have COVID right now. And the numbers are going back up, so you guys be safe and put your mask back on. You know, the goods, wash your hands, this and a third. I hope everything is going well with you guys. Look at me being all consistent. I've already recorded, like, this is my 2nd episode that I've recorded, and season 4 hasn't even premiered yet. So get at me. Okay, anyway. Let's get started on the episode. I hope you guys are well. It's great to hear from you guys. If you haven't already, make sure you follow me on Instagram at Lady Billy Day. That's Lady B-I-L-L-I-E Day. We have tons of fun over there. At least I think I'm having fun. I might just be having fun by myself. But y'all have fun with me, so it's cool. Let's start the episode. Oh, let me not even do that because let me do the sponsor because I almost forgot last time. Here's the sponsor. And we're back. This is History You Actually Wanted to Know with Lady Billy Day. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about the Western Schism. And this episode's, I think I have a love-hate relationship with this episode because Mr. Darcy told me that each of my seasons should have some sort of theme. Like, all of my episodes have such a randomness to it. There's no connection. And I was like, well, what should I do? And he was like, well, your season 4 should be a versus, like somebody versus somebody in history. And I was like, yeah, let's do this. So my very first episode was going to be Pope Clement II versus Pope Urban VI. And I was going to do every single episode like a versus battle, like a rap battle. Okay, that ended up not working out. So this episode is kind of designed to be a versus, even though it didn't work out. So, it's no longer a versus, it's just the Western Schism. So, bear with me because I have a love-hate relationship with how I did the outline and how I did the research. But that's neither here nor there. So, the Western Schism, basically what happens is that it's more than one pope at once. And this is a very rare occurrence throughout history. It's only happened like 2 or 3 times, something like that. Anyway, it is a rare occurrence, but it does happen. And the very first and the most notable one is between Pope Clement the 7th and Pope Urban the 6th. And that, like I said, that is 2 popes at the very same time. And you might be thinking to yourself, oh, what's the big deal? Like, one person can be a pope over this area and another pope can be over this area. That doesn't really work because there can only be one pope because God can only speak through one person to govern all of Catholicism, if that makes sense. So let's start with the very first pope, Pope Urban VI. He was born as Bartolomeo in Italy in 1318, and he served as pope from 1378 to 1389. He received his formal education in Avignon, France. And this is going to sound really bad, but I can't say French words right. I know it's pronounced Avignon, but, you know, I think in general when I say French words, they're just terrible. Anyway, that's where he received his formal education. He was an archbishop, and he had a huge role in politics of the papacy, even though he was never elected a cardinal. And a little bit later in the episode, we're going to kind of get into the hierarchy of Christendom. So even though he wasn't a cardinal, he was elected to the papacy by the College of Cardinals. So he kind of skipped a level. At one point, the papacy was actually in France rather than, as we know today, in Rome. And because it was far away from Rome, he was able to climb the ranks and he was able to kind of skip and become pope. But before he starts skipping all these levels, he becomes an archbishop, like I mentioned before. And his predecessor, Pope Gregory XI, was pope while in Avignon and was in the process of moving the papacy back to Rome. However, Gregory XI dies in 1378 before he's able to do all that. And Bartolomeo is elected and chooses the name Urban VI and is the first pope in Rome since it had moved back to France. Throughout history, popes can be used as like pawns for other people's agendas, knowingly or unknowingly. But Urban is a little bit different. Most cardinals thought when he was elected, he was just kind of going to go with the flow, do the regular kind of pope duties, but, you know, get with the program. Urban did not get with the program at all. He saw the program, threw it away, and was like, I'm doing my own thing, which sometimes can be a good thing. But in this case, it was a pretty bad thing. Why? Because Urban was not soft-spoken. He was very loud, very arrogant. He wasn't like gentle as I wouldn't say gentle, but when you see a pope today or the current pope, when you look at him, it's like, oh my God, like, you know, that guy looks nice. Let me give him a hug. No, Urban was not like that at all. And the cardinals knew that they immediately made a mistake because he was hot-tempered. People thought he was insane. He didn't emulate anything that they thought a pope should be. So once he pisses off enough people in Rome, he decides to leave Rome and go back to France, which is a huge error on his part. While he is gone, the College of Cardinals decided that his papacy wasn't legal, because he was elected because people were afraid of how loud and hot-tempered he was. So nothing about his papacy was legal, so they felt like they could elect someone else, which is exactly what they did. They went on to elect Robert of Geneva, who eventually becomes Pope Clement VII. So Clement is born, he's not Clement yet, child. Robert is born in 1342 in Geneva, and he is known as the very first anti-pope. And the anti-pope is someone who disagrees with the current pope and attempts to become the pope themselves. Not much is known about Robert's upbringing, with the exception that he served as a bishop, a cardinal, a papal legate, and then he eventually becomes the anti-pope. Now, I'm not Catholic, and I had a difficult time kind of learning or understanding what the hierarchy of Catholicism kind of is. So I had a buddy who is Catholic. She helped me out and was able to kind of put the gaps together for me. So the very first level of, I know level isn't probably the right word, but at the beginning are just your standard parishioners, regular people that come to church, engage in mass, sit through service, you know, sing the songs, do what you gotta do. Next is someone who is a deacon, which is the apprenticeship to priesthood or like an assistant to the priest. Third, priests perform sacraments and are heads of local parishes. They can conduct mass and they can hear confession. Fourth are bishops. They usually oversee parishes in a large area or a town. Fifth are archbishops, which is, you're kind of, archbishops should probably ping a light bulb in your head now. They are the head of many bishops. They can even oversee large districts as opposed to small towns. Next is the archdiocese. And the archdiocese is somebody who oversees a large metro area. So for me, I was born in Baltimore, and downtown is the Archdiocese of Baltimore, and they oversee all of like the Catholic activity in Baltimore. So I'm sure there's an Archdiocese of Arlington, Virginia. There's an Archdiocese of Washington, D.C. There's an Archdiocese of, I don't know, boroughs in New York. It's kind of like that. Like, they oversee not a state, but large metropolitan areas. After that is a cardinal. A cardinal is elected by a pope to oversee church affairs and to ensure that the Catholic Church is being run properly. They help to elect the next pope and travel annually to Rome to meet with the pope. And at the tippy-tippy top of the hierarchy is the pope, who is the head of the Catholic faith. Woo! All right, we got through that one together. And I can't ever say pope without thinking about Olivia Pope. I've been rewatching Scandal, which I probably shouldn't have done. But I don't know, watching Scandal during that era was a beautiful time. Like, what was that? The Scandal, the How to Get Away with Murder, and Grey's Anatomy on ABC. Okay, if you live in the U.S., you know what I'm talking about. If you live outside the U.S., go watch it on Hulu so you can understand what we went through. Because these TV shows used to come on back to back to back in one night sometimes. And if you weren't crying over Grey's Anatomy, you were having an honest-to-God heart attack and a mental spasm from Scandal. Anyway, so when I say Pope, that's what I think about. Anyway, so back to the history part. So here's the Western schism. We have Urbanists versus Clementines. Clementines! Oh, that's... Okay, that brings up another funny story. I can't keep doing this, Billy. What is wrong with you? So, when I was living in my very first apartment, I needed to make sure, like, you know, not that you're used to your mom. Yeah, you are used to your mom buying the groceries, making sure you have healthy things. So, I would go to the store and be like, you know, I like to eat fruit, but I need a fruit that I can eat, like, on the go, quick. Something like blueberries, raspberries, or an easy peel orange. You know the ones I'm talking about. Anyway, so I get the easy peel because I can peel it in the house, take it in the car, and eat it quick. Okay, so those are my, literally, like, they're my favorite fruit to eat. Easy peel oranges, like the cuties, the small ones. And I don't know if they're called clementines or not, but they, anyway. So I used to eat them so much that one time my boss had walked past me and she was like, oh my God, you smell like oranges. And I was like, oh, well, you know, I just ate an orange. She said, okay. Then she, it was a couple days later, she was like, you smell like oranges. And I was like, I don't know how that's possible because I haven't eaten an orange today. And she was like, all right, cool. I mean, I was like, it's not like I smell bad. I just smell like an orange. Anyway, so any orifice on my body, my skin, like, was smelling like oranges. So, of course, I go to the doctor. I stay at the doctor for something because I'm paranoid. She was like, how many cuties are you eating in a day? And I told her, she was like, girl, please stop. So I had to stop eating oranges because I was eating so many oranges that my skin, like, it was coming out of my pores. Like, even my doctor said I smell like oranges. Oh, God. Okay, so anyway, Clementine. Urbanists versus Clementines. The election of the Pope, the election of Pope Clement went from a very minor squabble to a huge and major diplomatic disaster. And it affected Catholicism for decades after this, even down to today. We'll talk about that later. But the crazy thing is, just about everyone liked Clement over Urban. Why? Because Clement, you know, was soft-spoken, he went with the flow, did what he was supposed to do. With the exception of countries like England, Poland, and Hungary. However, the people of Rome were very still Team Urban, even though he had left, because in their eyes, they don't see the backstory of what the Pope's doing behind closed doors. They just know that this was the Pope that was elected, and you know, we live in Rome, this is what we see. So everyone in Rome was still very much Team Urban and never fully recognized Clement. So Urban decides to come back to Rome. And when he comes back to Rome, Clement decides to go to France. So they start switching places. And it causes a huge split between countries and their allegiance. It causes mass turmoil. Who do I submit myself to religiously? Because if you remember, the Pope has the ability to excommunicate someone, which means to kick them out. They don't have any entrances into heaven. You know, they're this evil person. The Catholic Church, specifically the Pope, holds a significant sway over politics, over monarchies, over the daily lives of everyone. They hold a huge amount of sway. So this happening, this battle going back and forth, it actually affects people's day to day. And it also makes, I mean, people have always questioned the church, but people can also say, like, how in the world is God allowing two popes at the very same time? Like, it starts this, like, snowball effect of people who can now openly question what the heck is going on with the church. And it proves to be an absolute disaster for the common people, because people were then being loyal based upon their nationality rather than who they believe was correct theoretically. It just wasn't a good look for them. And the main issue was, who in the world should resign? Who wants to give up being Pope? Like, this is a huge, powerful position. And up until this time, Popes have been the subject of a massive scandal. And it was so bad that it prompted the Gregorian reform. So Pope Gregory reigned from 1073 to 1085. And he noticed that the church was a hot mess. So he instituted things like you couldn't have a concubine. There shouldn't be any simony, which is like bringing money into the church, like doing bad things with money that are church related. It was a form of heresy. And going forward, those in papal positions needed to practice they needed to practice celibacy. Now, this is happening in the 11th century, but people, and Pope specifically, are still not reforming to what Gregory had said. He said, let's clean up the church. Let's clean up the church. We aren't doing what the Bible said. And this, we're straying away from what the original idea was, which was to keep the church clean. But like I said, these things still happen. So for example, Pope Gregory the Ninth had killed and raped people. Pope John the 12th became Pope at 18. He had committed fornication, adultery. He gambled and he robbed people. The Borgia Pope, Pope Alexander the Sixth, which you guys know from the Netflix series, The Borgias, was known for his fornication. All popes had access to lots of money. They commanded monarchs, heads of state. So a lot of times men could get away with various sins under the guise of the papacy. Like, I'm protected by God because I'm the Pope, so I can do these things. Like, I'm not a hypocrite because, you know what I'm saying? So even though this reform was set in place hundreds of years before these, like, you know, questionable popes came into power, they were still doing it. And like I said, nobody wanted to give up the position. But eventually some cardinals got super fed up. And eventually some people just got fed up. So some cardinals got together and met in 1409 and decided to elect another pope. So not only is there one pope, another anti-pope, there is now a second anti-pope. So there are three popes at one time. And the third pope that was elected was Alexander the Fifth. But like when popes die, they are then succeeded by somebody else. So when Alexander the Fifth dies, which is the third pope, he's succeeded by someone named Pope John the 23rd. During this time period, Pope Clement and Urban are also succeeded by Pope Benedict the 13th and Gregory the 12th, respectively. So this just keeps continuing. When the popes who were a part of the original schism die, their folks re-elect them. So again, even though after they die, there's another three popes that are hanging around. So Pope John, Pope Benedict, and Pope Gregory. So Not only are the cardinals getting upset, but various monarchs from around Europe are also getting kind of peeved off. Like, this is going on for too long. So, eventually, Pope John decides to step down, which is the replacement of that third pope. He steps down, like, you know, this has gone too long. You was the last one hired, first one fired. Go on and go. So he steps down. However, who would be the pope? Because there's still two left. The College of Cardinals gets together and elects Martin V in 1417 and is the official pope, and the schism ends. Pope John, like I said, steps down. Pope Gregory also steps down. And then Pope Benedict starts acting like a real weirdo. And I don't know, he gets locked up someplace, or he goes someplace else. And he keeps saying, like, I'm the Pope for the rest of my life. But people were done with this. People were totally done with this. Pope Martin V is who the Pope is now, and we're done. So what are the effects of the Western Schism? It diminishes the power of the church. It is permanently weakened, and it allows a space for people like Martin Luther to walk through the door, or Calvinists to walk through the door. So before, there was no space to question the church. I mean, during this time period, you know, questioning the church was a very dangerous endeavor. But now people were more willing to get on the bandwagon with that, because look at what we just went through. People lived through this disastrous schism that wasn't effective. It didn't work. It caused doubts in the church. So when these people start walking through the door talking about, let's reform the church, let's make it a better place for you and me, it was easy for them. People began to become freer thinkers. We start seeing that the Bible is being translated into other languages, not just Latin. People can interpret the Bible for themselves. And aside from the Gregorian reform, there's more internal reform in the church to stop something like this from happening again. And that is the Western Schism. It was kind of short, but I like to give very high levels of what is happening. So, thank goodness. I mean, I'm not Catholic, but I couldn't imagine having two popes walking around and just causing mess for people who are Catholics. You know? But I think they got it under control. So, on to episode number 3. Today is the second week of March. The season premieres next week. I'm so excited. I'm ahead of the game. I'm proud of myself. I'm happy I was able to get up, get motivated. This week is Nurses Week. Nurses Week is ending, but if you know a nurse, if you know someone who is in the healthcare field, give them a hug. Well, not during COVID. Give them an elbow slap. Mr. Darcy is a nurse, so lots of hugs and kisses to Mr. Darcy for all he does to take care of people. Healthcare workers are the unsung heroes. Hello. Especially during this pandemic, they're actually superheroes. So you better give them a high five, because they had to work through this whole pandemic and keep us afloat. Ciao. But anyway, I think that is about it. Yeah. Anyway, be sure to, wherever you're listening from, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, what's the other one? Wherever you're listening from, be sure to rate, review, leave a comment. I love comments. You guys send me comments all the time on Instagram. You guys ought to put it in the dang tool or wherever you listen from. Leave a comment. Follow me on Instagram at Lady Billie Day. That's Lady B-I-L-L-I-E Day. I'm so excited to start this season. I don't know. I just have a newfound joy in life. Anyway. This is History You Actually Wanted to Know with Lady Billie Day, and I'll see you guys next time. Bye!